I love the skit, guys. And as we enter into Thanksgiving, this came across my email, and I was like, this was the perfect one for this week. But today, we are looking at Joshua chapter 4. And so I won't ask y'all to stand because this is quite a long passage. And so we'll dive right into the scripture where it says, Joshua chapter 4. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. Carry them with you and set them down at the place where you spend the night.'" So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you should tell them, 'The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" The Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the camp and set them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The stones are still there today. The priests carrying the Ark continued standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people, in keeping with all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people hurried across, and after everyone had finished crossing, the priests with the Ark of the Lord crossed in the sight of the people. The Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh went in battle formation in front of the Israelites, as Joseph had instructed them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed to the plains of Jericho in the Lord's presence. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him throughout his life, as they had revered Moses. The Lord told Joshua, "Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up from the Jordan." When the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped out on solid ground, the water of the Jordan resumed its course, flowing over all the banks as before. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your children ask their fathers, 'What is the meaning of these stones?' you should tell your children, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God.'" How many of you would say that you're a forgetful person? If you have spent any time around me, you know that I can tend to be a forgetful person. You could ask just about anybody, but in particular, I'm thinking of Alice Gilchrist. Just 2 weeks ago, we were having a conversation that I thought for the very first time I was having this conversation with her, and she just very patiently stopped me as I was telling her something and said, "Nick, we've had this conversation 3 times, honey." But for me, it was like we were having the conversation for the very first time. I blame it on groom brain, just saying. But I like to think that I am very much a not forgetful person, but I think most of my youth leaders would disagree with that. I think, I like to think of myself as not a very forgetful person, but I think I have it all together, right? Until I went to go to get my suit for the wedding, and the tailor took one look at me, one look at me and said, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to stitch your anniversary date under the collar of your jacket so that you can always look back and remember what your anniversary date is. That hit on a whole different level for me. It was just a dagger to the heart. And I will admit, I am not blessed with the gift of a good memory. And I'm working hard on that, though. I've got my to-do lists. I've got my weekly reminders. I've got things, you know, set up for myself so I don't forget. And sometimes I put things in such a way as a method to remind myself to get stuff done. Anyone else with me on this? Okay, cool. I'm not the only one. Good to know. And as I was preparing for this message today, I saw that I was going to be preaching the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So, you know, obviously, I'm going to preach on something related to Thanksgiving. And I began to think about all the things that I'm thankful for this year. And as that list began to grow and grow and grow, I thought about His goodness and how time and time again, when I thought things were at the worst, God was right there, ready to help me along. I know I should remember what God has done for me more often, and I want to get better at that. The great thing, though, is that God realizes that we are a forgetful people, and we often forget what He has done for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, Moses issued a final warning to Israel just before they entered the Promised Land. He said, "Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." The meaning of this Hebrew word for memorial is quite literally to remember. Given man's propensity to forget, it is a little wonder that these memorials were frequently played an important role in biblical history. At the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses built an altar of stones to commemorate God's covenant with Israel. And now, in today's text, we see God commanded His people to erect another memorial. The passage today tells us that the 12 men chosen earlier were to go back to where the priests were standing in the riverbed where they were holding the ark. Each man was to pick up a large rock or stone from the middle of the Jordan and carry it to the other side of the river where Israel would camp in the land of Canaan. And so I want you to notice with me three reasons that this action is given. The first is it is to be a time of remembering what God has done. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. First, these memorial stones were to be a reminder of their own personal experience. Notice that in verse 6, this memorial will cause the children to ask, "What do these stones mean to you?" These stones are first and foremost to be a reminder to those who were present of their personal experience, what they saw, what they heard, what they felt. It's like God is saying, tell your story. Keep a clear memory of what God did for you. Keep on telling your stories so that you will never lose your own sense of awe and wonder of what God has done in your life. The youth all know that I have an obsession with pumpkin and pumpkin spiced everything. This is partially because of my great memories of Thanksgiving. I remember waking up in the mornings on Thanksgiving Day at my grandmother's house, and she had already put the turkey in the oven, and we started making pumpkin pies. And the smell of pumpkin pie in the house is one of my favorite Thanksgiving smells. And it just always, every time I taste something pumpkin, or every time I smell it, it brings me back to grandma's house. And let me ask, do you have something like that? Something that when you taste it, when you smell it, when you hear it, it brings you back to a certain place. I know Cal has always told me that chocolate chip cookies remind him of his childhood. Just the smell and taste bring him back to his mama's kitchen. I want to ask, what is that for you? The principle that I just described was the very reason for these memorials. When the Israelites would pass by, it would remind them of what God did for them at that place. It would bring them back. It would bring back the smells of the riverbed that they crossed on. It would bring back the feel of the water mist on their face as the walls of water stopped the Jordan River from flowing, just like the Red Sea. Looking at this memorial would cause the people to relive those moments and remember what God did for them, and that they could be reminded of the powerful God that they serve. Just like chocolate chip cookies for Cal, or pumpkin for me, or the stone monument for the Israelites, I want you to consider with me, what kind of memorials do I have in my own life? We all have those kind of memorials, so what are they? No, they're not going to be a monument of 12 stones, but they're going to be built of memories. There are the memories of places that trigger memories just like the memorial stones in Gilgal. There are some significant places in your life that elicit memories. None of you know the significance of the address 605 Carolina Avenue. But that was the address of New Heart Baptist Church in 2013 when I got saved on a missions trip in Thomasville, North Carolina. You may not know where Iron Mountain is in Arkansas, but it was there at a youth rally that I answered the call to ministry and where I proposed to Heather. Every time I return to these places, the emotions, the smells, the everything about that those days, they all come flooding back. Places serve as powerful reminders. What are the places in your life that trigger such memories? These are the altars of remembrance that we're talking about today. There's the memories of people. These are memories of people who God has used in your life. For me, many of them are those who encouraged me to pursue the ministry and to grow in the ministry. I've got such amazing people in my life who played a part, like Dr. Darrell Sterling, who was my first senior pastor that I worked under at Wise Drive Baptist, Dave Wilson, who was my best man at the wedding, Mike Hearn, who is also here, Clayton King, Pastor Cal, and so many more. People also serve as an altar of remembrance of where God has led you. I want to ask you, who are the people in your life who serve as your memorial stones? There's also the memories of experiences, of God's answering prayer and God's marvelous hand of provision. I remember the times that I couldn't afford to go on a missions trip, but God made a way through certain people. I remember when Wise Drive Baptist of Sumter first called me as their youth pastor for my first full-time position. And when things shifted, I thank God that he provided a way out and placed me in a position where I could heal as I continued to serve him in the calling that he's placed on my life here at Jonesboro Heights. The last kind of thing that we have for these altars of remembrance are mementos from the past. I have t-shirts, gifts, cards, and random mementos from all my mission trips and organizations and events that I've worked with throughout the years. I keep telling myself that I'm going to have somebody make me a t-shirt quilt so that I can have all of these memories together in one. But one such memento that I keep in my office is a hand-done watercolor painting someone did at my last church. Because even though I experienced a lot of church hurt there, I keep it in my office because it was a gift from my secretary there. She and I had been through so much, and that painting brings back a smile to me because it was a gift from her, and it helps me remember where God has brought me. The point is that God knows how we think, and that is the reason that he instructs Joshua to build a memorial, so that each time the Israelites saw it, they would be reminded that they had not crossed the Jordan on their own ability, their own strength, but because of God. These stone memorials served to remind the Israelites to remember the past, to boldly seize the future. They could look back at what God had done, knowing that he was in full control, and that we could boldly and courageously move forward because they knew that if God was for them, who could be against them? I challenge you to spend some time this week, as we enter into the Thanksgiving week, to think through your memorial stones and let them draw you closer to God and remind you of his faithfulness. He's done it before. Won't he do it again? Amen. Secondly, These memorial stones were to serve as a basis of sharing faith with their children. In two places in this chapter, parents are reminded of their responsibility for the communication of God's word and his calling on their children, generation to generation. First, in verses 6 and 7, where it says, "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' You should tell them, 'The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" And again, in verses 21 through 23, "And he said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over." As with other memorials in the Old Testament, the intention of this memorial was to provoke questioning, especially from future generations. This is one reason that Heather and I chose at our wedding to build the Unity Cross. Whoop. Sorry. This was one reason why. So that in the future, when our kids ask what the significance of this is, we can show them. We wanted to show God as part of our marriage. This is why we made this Unity Cross. And there goes one of my pegs again. Oh, Scott warned me about that. I should have listened to him. And now I've lost my place. So, this Unity Cross will help us pass along to our kids what is important to us and explain that we wholeheartedly believe what God did in our lives to bring us together. I'm sure that every married couple here has something similar that they can look at and remember the fine details of their special day when they took those vows before their friends and family and before God. This is what these memorials represent. They are to remind us to show our children what God has done for us, how he moved, and how we can explain to them that God will always take care of us. Passing our faith along is so, so very important, and we as a church want to start taking that mission seriously. That's why on Family Sunday this year, I preached from Deuteronomy 6 about intentionality. It's why we are beginning to help resource parents by coming alongside and doing car table bed, where we get to have conversations about a verse of scripture as a church body throughout the week. It's also why we did our family equipping night last night, which focused on connecting your child to some spiritual disciplines that will help them grow leaps and bounds in their walk of faith. As well as develop a community of parents who want to encourage one another in their journeys. The church is here for you, to help you and resource you as best we can. Don't forget that. And don't forget to tell your children about how God has been good to you and how he has gotten you and your spouse through some of the harder times. Third, the memorial stones were to be a signpost to a lost world. We see that in verse 24, where it says, "That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." It has always been God's plan that the whole world should know that he is the one and only living God. Not only was the crossing of the Jordan a stirring event for Israel, but it was also a terrifying event for all the people living in the land of Canaan. So not only was this to be a time of remembering what God has done, but it was a time of renewing personal commitment. We see in verse 8 where it says, "The Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the camp and set them down there." Joshua not only issued the order for the men to go back, but he personally joined them as they made their journey back to the center of the riverbed. The meaning of verse 9 is actually widely debated amongst biblical commentators, where it says, "Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." But it seems that while the men were carrying their stones back to the shore, that Joshua personally picked up another 12 stones and built a memorial in the very center of the riverbed as his own personal act of worship. For Joshua, this was a private act, but it was also representative of a pivotal point in his walk with God. Once the 12 men had carried the 12 stones to the shore of Canaan, and after Joshua had built his altar in the middle of the river, he commanded the priests to finish crossing the river with the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 15 said, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before." The moment that the feet of the priest touched the other side, the wall of water that had been piled up for miles back up the river came crashing back into place. So not only was this to be a time of remembering what God has done, a time of renewing personal commitment, but it was also a time of rolling away old defeats. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken from the Jordan. It is significant, and why it is mentioned here, very significant that this happened on the 10th day of the first month, because this is exactly 40 years to the day since Israel marched out of Egypt. Leaving the edge of the water, the Israelites went into a place called Gilgal to make their camp. Gilgal was on the eastern border of Jericho, and Gilgal, there's two ways that people say this is translated. The first of which is, "The reproach has been rolled away." The other way is more of a circle or a circuit. What it's saying is that 40 years of spiritual defeat and failure have been rolled away. It was the dawn of a great new beginning of a new land. The days of sullen refusal to respond to God under Moses were gone. Complaining was ended. Hopeless wandering in the wilderness was behind them. They were now a people with a powerful new sense of purpose, determined to take new territory with God. Likewise, for the believer today, we should be able to look back and see those monumental occasions which stand out at times in which God has changed our directions and given us a new hope and a new sense of purpose. A time when we act out of bold faith and decide to abandon ourselves to God and step out into the unknown to take new territory with Him. This is why the takeaway of the week is to remember the past, to boldly sees the future. But here's the beautiful part of this that I found out while I was studying. When God told the Israelites that this generation 40 years prior would not see the promised land for their ungratefulness and forgetfulness, they were in that exact spot about to cross over over the Jordan River. Isn't it amazing that 40 years to the day, God brought them back to the very spot where they could have just entered into the promised land right then. God brought them back, and this time they were able to see what God has done. And here's the comfort that I find in this. God's will is going to be done. And we can be a part of it. We can either be part of it willingly, or we can go kicking and screaming. One way or another, God's will be done. This is evidence of that. God was always going to give the promised land to his people, but a whole generation missed the chance to be a part of that because they feared, forgot what he had done, and so God told them they would not see the promised land. After 40 years, when God brought them back to Gilgal,
where they had forgotten originally, the people recognized that. And as they looked back, they realized that because God was with them and that he has always been faithful, they remembered the past to boldly seize the future. Had anything changed in those 40 years? The people on the other side were still giants. The land was still overwhelming to them. They knew that they were still going to have to fight for that land. No, none of the circumstances had changed. What had changed was the people who were there, those who remembered. They knew and remembered to look back on the faithfulness of God. They knew to look on the faithfulness of God, and therefore they had the boldness and the courage to move forward into the land that God had promised them. Once again, church, if God is for us, who can be against us? The monument that was built with those 12 stones was to serve as a visible reminder of the faithfulness of God. It was also a silent monument to the special day on which the people of God boldly placed their feet in the surging, rushing current of the Jordan, confident that God would see them safely through to the other side. Friends, let us not forget where God has brought us. Let us remember the past so that we as Jonesboro Heights can look forward to the future and see what God has for us. Once again, we can go willingly or we can go kicking and screaming. I choose to go willingly. In late 2020 and early 2021, I knew that God was starting to call me away from my church in South Carolina. And I don't say that lightly, because there were just too many nudges that could not be ignored. But during this time, I was sending out my resumes, and of course, as the interviews came, I had to keep diving into my past, sharing my testimony, and confronting old fears and beliefs. During that time, I began to look back on my life. Born and raised in the church, but it wasn't until I was in Thomasville, North Carolina on July 17th, 2013, that faith became mine, when I stopped trying to clean myself up and finally surrendered to the blood of Christ. That was the beginning of my journey. For the next 4 years, I would spend with the North American Mission Board as a summer student missionary and the Georgia Baptist Convention. Those times were preparing me and giving me a little bit of experience of what ministry was, so that in 2019, when Wise Drive Baptist Church called me as their full-time youth pastor, I was able to stand and go, because it was only because of God that this happened. But what that did was I was able to be at that church for 2 years, and when things went south, God made it evidently clear that it was time for me to move. It was time for me to move, and I wanted to stay in South Carolina. Jonesboro Heights was the only church outside of South Carolina that I applied to. And here I am today. And just like Cal said, you know, Heather came in August of 2015 to Jonesboro Heights. And in July of 2021, I came here. The way that we see that God worked this out is what we cannot deny. That's something for us. We see this as an altar of remembrance. And so my challenge for us today is to once again remember where God has brought us, where God has taken us. We may not see it in the moment, but one of the most powerful things that we can do is to look back in our lives and see where God has led right beside us, where he stood right beside us and brought us through all the hard times. We may not understand it, but you know what? There's something good on the other side. Amen? Amen. We remember our past to boldly seize the future. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, as I've looked through my life, I just see time and time and time again how you have moved. and how you have orchestrated things to bring me to where I am today. Father, I pray that I'd never forget that. I pray that we as a congregation will do the same, that we will look to our past so that we can remember what you have done for us, and we know you will do it again. And so, Father, I pray that as we look to our past, Father, we don't stay there, that we look forward to the future, that what you have for us in the ways that you tell us to move. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. It's all this we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. If you are a forgetful person like me, today has been a reminder of what God has done for us. That's the whole purpose of the title of this sermon was, look what God has done. We look back at what God has done to see how we can boldly move into the future. And so this altar is open. Whether you need to come and kneel and pray and thank God for his faithfulness to you, or whether you need to come talk with me and we can pray over whatever is going on in your life, that God will show up once again for you. Or maybe you don't know what God has done for you because you haven't started that relationship with him. I pray today would be the day that you find that out. It's not by mistake that you are here today. It's not by chance. God had us here today for a reason. And so as Scott leads us in one last song, won't you come as we sing about the goodness of our God?